Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Powerfully You on Blog Talk Radio. This is your co-host, Dave McDowell, with my wife, Linda. Say hello, Linda.
Hello, Dave, and everybody out in Blog Talk Radio land.
Yeah, we've had a great Sunday, one of our nice Sundays with church and lunch and goofing around. Mm-hmm. And now we are ready to talk with you guys and share some things. Do you want to introduce our topic, or would you like for me to do that?
Well, I'll introduce the day. Today, sometimes Dave and I talk through the week, and we batter back and forth about what we should talk about. And I brought up the subject, that brought up the subject about how to study the Bible. And so we thought we'd talk about that because, you know, sometimes people take Bible verses out of context or, you know, as Christians, we should at least be, and I think I said something about that last week, we should be able to say, hey, that's not in the Bible. You may not know every verse, but you should be at least familiar with what's in the Bible and what is not. And in the Bible, 2 Timothy 15, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." And I feel like not that you have to always be a scholar, but you should be familiar with the word of God and be able to, you know, talk about it, encourage, and know the word of God. So what's your thought?
Yeah, and just kind of on that same theme, and this is something the Lord dealt with me not too long ago, and that is, for a long time I wanted to study and be able to say, oh, 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this or that, you know. And finally the Lord spoke to me and said, why? And after I really examined myself and prayed about it, I realized it was to impress everybody else. So I don't really worry about that too much anymore. I mean, I do like it when I can go, well, it's in Galatians.
Yeah.
Or it's in Colossians. But I don't have to be able to go, it's Colossians 2:22, you know, or whatever. It's good if you can. That's great.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's good if you can. And if you have the right reason and heart to help and edify, because that's some of the thing of knowing the Bible is to edify others.
Right. So the next thing, so just with that introduction is you know, we want to know the principles of the word. I want to know what Jesus said about love. I want to know what Jesus said about turning the other cheek. I want to know what Paul says about being a witness, you know, and going to the Gentile. You know, I want to know the stories, and you know, but I don't have to know. I don't have to quote it. Not exactly, you know, but I do need to know the meaning. And as a Christian, the more I know, the more I can apply it to my life, and the more Christ-like I become. So we were just going to share, and I've got some ideas, and I'm sure Linda does too, of our progress through this and some of the things that we've learned, both a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. There's some techniques, there's tools that you can use, and those kind of things. I hate to use the word qualifications, but there are some things that will put you in a better place to hear God's word and a little more likely to hear God's word. At least this is my experience. And that is, one is obedience. You know, it's kind of like my dad used to say to me, it's like talking to a brick wall, you know. And I think sometimes we have that same problem. If we're, you know, if we're not open to obedience, to taking the word and saying, ooh, oh, I've been doing this wrong, or I need to change this because this is what God's word says. A lot of times we won't hear what we need to hear because we're not ready. So I don't want to use the word qualification, but I would encourage you that if you're going to study God's word and really want to have him speak to you through it, you know, start off with, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. I really want to know, and if I need to change, please help me. And that will open you up to hearing from God and hearing from the Holy Spirit and the Word beginning to become, I call it become real to you. You know, I know I've had experiences now, and I've been a Christian since I was 7 years old, and I'll read a verse and all of a sudden I'll get it at a whole other level that I never got before. And that's the Holy Spirit. And it takes practice and time and maturity. And, you know, I would just encourage everybody to be patient. You know, it does. The Word builds on itself also. The more you know, the easier it is to kind of hear the next thing, I believe. Would you agree with that, Linda?
Yeah, and I think it's good to, you know, don't pick out a verse. I mean, it's okay to meditate on the Word, and we're going to talk about that a little bit too, to pick out a verse and just meditate, because I've done that before too, and it's been very beneficial. It helped me to take that Word in bite-sized chunks and just really find a way with that. But when you're reading the Word of God and when you're studying the Word of God, you know, you want to look at what the interpretation was. Who was he talking to? You know, what was the cultural significance at that time?
Right.
And some of those things, I always say maybe the first and easiest way to do it is just to read his Word.
Yeah.
You know, and then you build on that, especially if you're just starting out, just read his Word. And more and more, the Holy Spirit will reveal more and more to you. But as you know, kind of grow and you kind of want to know more, there are excellent study guide books out there that will give you the history and the context and who the author was talking to at that time. And that will help you too.
My mom was a real Bible scholar, and she introduced me to Matthew Henry.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, you know, and Barclay. These are, you know, they're solid, you know, really good commentaries where they've gone through and done a lot of the work for you sometimes. So those are a couple just to throw out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with Linda. If you're young in the Word, I would, you know, well, frankly, I have a favorite book of the Bible that was just turned me upside down at the age of 23 when I had surrendered. Once I surrendered to the Lord, and I went to my mentor said, Dave, start in the Gospel of John. And I went to the Gospel of John, and it was like a whole new book to me. So I would, if you're young in the Lord and young in the Word, it's a great place to start because you have that term you use for Jesus, the show giver?
Oh, the way shower.
The way shower.
Yeah.
Linda has a term for Jesus. You know, one of the reasons he's came was to be an example. And to me, the Gospel of John, more than the other Gospel, explains how Jesus walked as a man, even though he was God and never quit being God, but he walked like and showed us how to walk. And it talks so much about dependence on the Holy Spirit. So I love that book. That's my favorite book. Linda and I talked about this too. You know, great place. If you're just trying to get started, Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
Is such, my personal opinion is, I don't think anybody in the Old Testament, I believe David was the most Spirit-filled, most often Spirit-filled person in the Old Testament, because if you read the Psalms, you just go, wow. But it talks so much about the attributes of God and how much he loves us. And, you know, it's just so rich and deep. Do you have any suggestions as a good place to start?
I think that Psalms, Proverbs, and remember that the Bible has different genres of the Bible. Like it has poetry, as such as the Psalms, and wise sayings, which are Proverbs, historical letters, prophetic readings, and apocalyptic literature, which is like Revelation. So it has these different genres. And so when you go to the Bible, sometimes it's good to know that this is this genre, so you can kind of understand what the context is a little bit more and what were they trying to say. But I think Proverbs is really good because it really is a good foundation for men and women with good sayings in there. I remember, my daughter did a Bible study, my daughter Tanisha, on the Proverbs 31 woman. We did this with a group of women in our home for a little while. And what does it entail to be a Proverbs 31 woman? So, I mean, it's just really good to kind of know the genre. And those are really good foundational, everyday practical kind of ways to live your life. It's a lot of good. And
you may find that there's some of those genres have become your favorites.
Yeah.
You know, the book of the law, the five first books. I love Genesis and Exodus, and then it's hard work. You know, do this and don't do that, and, you know, carry this and don't carry that. But it's there, you know, and I do read it, and I do, you know, listen and pay attention. And then I like that section of the Chronicles and the Kings because they're stories, you know.
They are
fantastic stories, you know, incredible stories. And so there's all kinds of that. My weakness is I've never spent time, but see, here's something to think about. I call them the small prophets, Hosea, Jonah, and those books, but they're rich too. I mean,
they are rich, and some of those are good to start too because some of those are smaller chapters. You know, sometimes it's kind of overwhelming to do that, but I even suggest that, you know, nothing wrong with studying like a certain scripture, but make sure that when you're looking at a scripture or you're going to refer a scripture, I hear a lot of people, you know, blurt out a scripture or whatever, and make sure that you know, you know, what is that scripture saying before and what is it saying after?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we can lose the real interpretation and meaning when we don't know what it says before and after.
The context.
Right.
Who was he speaking to? What message was he really trying to put out there?
Mm-hmm.
And the book of the Bible is a fantastic, incredible piece of literature.
It is
just from a
I feel like the greatest book written.
Period.
And one of the greatest books ever sold. Because how many, you know, different versions of the Bible? And that's another thing. There are different versions of the Bible. The King James, of course, we all know. The Standard English Bible, the New Living Translation.
There's tons
of translations. And sometimes I know when I was starting out, because I've been a Christian now maybe 15, I don't know, I'm going to say 15 to 16 years. I haven't kept up a great count, I'm going to be honest. But anyway, I started out with the New Living Translation because it was more in terms that I understood. And after that, I kind of started getting Bibles that had like three translations there. And it was awesome to look at those. Yeah. To do that. And you know, I used to love to do this and to go to a bookstore or wherever you get your books and just look at the different Bibles and see what calls to you. And there are really some great study Bibles that really go over what we're talking about. What was the context? Who were they talking to? You know, the historical aspect, where this was in that time, that framework of time.
The only thing I would say about that is, you know, there are a lot of translations. If you are in a church and you have a good spiritual mentor, a pastor, or elder, or deacon, or whatever word it is in your doctrine, go to them and ask them what's the really good study Bible, and stick with the ones that are tried and true. I don't want a Bible that's just somebody's commentary that they've reworded everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I will give you an example where that's a little bit of an exception. I'm an old King James guy. I was raised on the King James, so I stay there because it's familiar to me. But I used to have a Phillips. Most people have never heard of Phillips. And the reason I love it was it just says some things that are beautifully said. And so, you know, find them, you know, but make sure you find the ones that are true translations. And then if you find others that have commentary that you begin to trust, like the Barclay, and like Matthew Henry, that have been around a long time and are solid. Those are good.
Well, there's so much information on what, you know, you can read reviews on stuff. It is nothing we can't find nowadays. You do have to watch, you know, the references and stuff like that, but there's computer software now that is absolutely excellent as far as studying the Word of God. And, you know, then there's, you know, you can do word study, like really studying the word. What is the Greek and, you know, what is the Arabic translation, those kind of things. When you study a word, sometimes you are almost, it's fascinating what the word actually meant, sometimes different than what you thought.
Well, here's a really good example. The word love in the New Testament is translated from three different words. They all come out to the English love, but they have very, very different meanings.
Mm-hmm.
There's agape, phileo, and what's the other? Eros.
Eros.
And they have a whole different meaning. And you might not catch that unless you went to look at the Greek. And we're not trying to turn you into, you know, you can go as deep on this as you want. But I will give you three tools that have really, really been helpful when I was confused or I was teaching a Bible study and wanted to make sure I hadn't missed something. One's I use, it's the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance.
Absolutely.
It has every word in the Bible. So, for example, if you wanted to look up the word love, and now you can go online.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also get this huge, it's about 5 inches thick, and this huge book, you know.
Yeah.
But now I'm sure you can go online, and it'll show you every place the word love is translated. And if you once you find that, it will also, if you get this a Greek lexicon that works with the Strong's, there'll be a number next to the word. You can take that number and go look in the lexicon and see the original Greek word and what the original Greek word meant. And it can really change a verse's meaning for you. If it's the Old Testament, you just go the other way. You go to a Hebrew lexicon. But if you get the lexicon, the concordance, the Strong's Concordance, the Strong's Hebrew lexicon, and the Strong's Greek lexicon, they'll all tie together. They're kind of cross-referenced with each other. It's a little easier.
It is. And these, you know, now are available on Kindle and all those other places. You can download software with all of these books, you know, and a lot of people may. Some of the things we're going over, you may know, some may not. Some of the other things that I used to do when I was studying is, you know, how they used to say when you write investigative writing, who, what, when, where.
Yep.
You know, who were they speaking to? What was happening? Where was it? All of those questions, if you kind of go through that with a who, what, when, where attitude, will bring the word to you a little bit better.
Yeah, that was one of my mentor also said, ask yourself those questions. So that's very good, Linda. And again, if you're, you know, let's be honest, the Bible's not easy to read to me, especially the Old Testament. It's old English. I'm so used to it. I've spent enough time that it's not hard for me anymore, but I understand. So a translation can help. But also, guys, don't be afraid to just read.
Enjoy it.
Sometimes, especially in the New Testament, I'll be honest, I just sometimes just love to just open, and I may read the whole book of Colossians in one setting, and stuff will just come back that, I've seen it before, but I needed to be reminded, and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to turn this into a chore. The Holy Spirit, in fact, you know, Jesus said, and here I go starting to quote stuff, but anyway, in John, he said, you know, that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things we need, but he can't bring to remembrance what you don't put in. And so just reading is not, you know, that's okay. If that's where you are right now, enjoy that.
I still enjoy just reading the Word of God, you know, not really have an agenda. But I love to study the Bible, so I do love studying and finding out who they were talking to and the context. I love both of those. But what works for you? Sometimes, when I read the word, God has brought that alive to me just reading, and it's like an onion. You peel away layers, maybe what you understood at the first read, because I've read the whole Bible, not in a bragging way, I don't even know, but at least 10 times, I'm sure. But every time, it was a new adventure for me.
Well, let's quote the scripture.
Yeah.
The Bible is alive. Mm-hmm. It is the only book in the world that I'm aware of that's alive, that is able to go into your soul and show you things. When God said it's the sword of the word, mm-hmm. you know, it really is, and that it will show you things that you never thought of or really knew about yourself. It's an amazing book because I believe it was inspired by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit. And I'm really big on that. We won't get into that. But, you know, believe me, I've read sections and gone back, you know, thought I had it, thought I got this, you know, mm-hmm. and go back 3 years later, for whatever reason, and read it again and get a whole nother level of meaning out of it. But it takes practice, frankly, and some time. And I would encourage you to make it a holy discipline, not a legalistic thing. God's not going to be mad at you if you don't read your Bible. But you're going to be a lot healthier if you do. And so, you know, I'm not saying, you know, and don't get into the thing of, you know, John reads for an hour a day, so I need to read that long. Don't do the comparison thing. Just let God lead you, but find time. Mm-hmm. Even if it's, you know, you're busy, you've got kids and a job, and, you know, all things, and all you've got is 15 minutes, take those 15 minutes.
Right.
If you have more time, then that's great. Linda and I try to find a balance. You know, we watch a little TV. We enjoy that. But we don't, you know, we don't want to spend all our time in front of the TV, and we don't.
No.
And you know, it's a learned behavior, but
it
the more
is.
You do it, the more you'll enjoy it. I know that.
And I started reading the Bible as a young mom, and sometimes that time would be early in the morning. You know, some people are evening people, so it really doesn't matter. But for me, it was early morning when the kids were either not quite ready to get up or whatever. That was a good time for me. And there were tools that I kept in my, kind of like at my table or bedside or whatever you want to call it. Usually I was big on journaling, and I'm still kind of, I don't journal as much as I do. But I've kept some of my journals over the years, and they have been so beneficial for me to go back and read some, maybe a journal that I wrote 5 years previously, the growth and where God has taken me. And sometimes I read things and I heard things from God, I would write all of that down, or what I got out of the scripture. When I would read that again, I was often reminded of what God has said to me and the promise that maybe He made during that day. So if you have the time, that was just such a great thing for me, those times when I
journal.
Yes.
To add that,
mm-hmm.
so that when God speaks to you, write it down. Okay.
Right,
yeah.
And sometimes if I got something from a scripture, I might would write that down. But I journaled for a long time with the Bible, with my Bible study.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I haven't really done that. But as you know, I've started writing more than I used to, and I find it so good for me. But, yeah, that's great. I'm glad you added that. And the other thing I would like for you to talk about, because I think, frankly, you're better at this than I am, and that is taking the word and meditating. What's that mean to you, meditating on the word?
Well, it may be a scripture that I have, you know, something that's come up in my spirit or whatever, and I love music, you too. Sometimes I will just play some soft music and just allow that scripture to ring in my
head. So you just kind of say it?
I say quietly to myself. Right. I'll just say it over and over.
How to really, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and then I'll, you know, or sometimes it'll just sit there and it'll be God telling me a scripture. Scriptures have came to mind for me,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll meditate on them. I mean, and it's different for different people, but if you take a scripture, like, be still and know that I am God. A friend of mine helped me do this. So you take that, be still and know that I am God. So you take a word off each time, be still and know.
Mm-hmm.
Be still and. Be still.
Yeah.
Be.
Yeah. So you take it, and I had this experience just this morning. It was really interesting in the church. There was a song, and it had that phrase, the Lord is my light and salvation. And, you know, this is another great technique when you're reading Scripture, is change the emphasis. For example, I can say, the Lord is my light and salvation. But I could say, the Lord is my salvation. Now I have owned that verse. And so it sometimes it helps to kind of go back and change it. Say it a little different. Put a little different. You know, it's amazing what God will share with you when you are really, I call that meditating. It's a little different than what you do. But it hit me. It really worked this morning.
Yeah,
because, you know.
Same thing with healing scriptures. When I was ill, I meditated on healing scriptures where I would just have scriptures, healing scriptures playing with some music, or I would say them. I had a friend who had looked up, bless her heart, maybe 50 scriptures for me that were healing scriptures, and I would just say those over and over.
Well, here's a beautiful thing about the word, and that is, and this is a Davism, but I don't think many people would disagree with me, I mean, and most pastors, is that I personally believe the Lord just loves it when we pray Scripture.
Oh,
I
absolutely.
You know, when we take His word and say, Lord, you said. And it's not that we're holding God to something. I'm not. God can do what God wants to do, and I'm good with that. But it's more than I'm saying, Lord, I believe because you said. I believe this. You know, you said that my mind could be transformed, you know, and renewed. And so I will pray, Lord, renew my mind. And so here's two little Davisms again as you're praying, because these are so much help me. And that is, I have asked the Lord to give me kingdom eyes. And what that means to me, and what I say to the Lord, is, Lord, let me see things as you see them. Let me hear things as you hear them. Let me understand things as you understand them. Now, I know I'm human and He's God, but I do believe He will begin to let you see things differently. The other one is, Lord, cause me, transform me. You said you would conform me into the image of your Son. I want that. And give God permission, because God is a gentleman. He will not force anybody. But, boy, He is just waiting for you to say, do it.
Right. I also, and you can study topically. That's helped me before, too. If there is a topic that I need to study on. For a long time, if you've been married to an unbeliever, I topically study what is a wife to do when you're married to an unbeliever. You know, I took you not only, and I've been with groups, not just me, but I've been with groups and we took topics and studied that. And the other thing, it is also great to study with other people, because when I've been in Bible studies with other people, they brought up points or something that I kind of didn't think about. And it was great. And it was like the Holy Spirit just, brought things alive from these different people's perspective and opinions. And that was awesome.
That's being raised in the Southern Baptist, where Bible study was very much emphasized. I'm so grateful that I have the Word in me. But it wasn't until I was 23 that I started experiencing the Word. And boy, for 3 years, I had a spiritual mentor, this poor guy. God bless him. He loved me and I loved him. And we still do. But he was so patient. And I would follow him to every Bible study he did. Sometimes three nights a week, you know. If he did a retreat and I could go, I went, you know. If he was teaching on Sunday night someplace and I could go, I'd go. And it was great. It was great. So if you find that person or you find that group of people that will share with you and you can share with them, I think that helps you.
It does. You know, I think some churches still do, but a lot of churches don't do the Sunday morning, what do we used to call it, Sunday school kind of Bible.
I still call it that. I still can't help it.
But a lot of times, and I've gone to great churches. Here in Nashville, I went to good churches. If you have a good teacher, I think that's important. If you have you find a good teacher that divides the word, so that
and
it brings it to life, you know, that's a good thing.
I would also encourage you, especially if you can find other men, if you're a man, or other women, if you're a woman, and find some of those people that you really respect, that you know walking with the Lord, and ask them, hey, what do you do? And, you know, I want to be careful here because there is no substitute for the word. But there are some great Bible teachers who write great books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joyce Myers, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, and we could go on and on. David Jeremiah, these are just some of mine.
Yeah, and I
you know,
some of that I have
check
read.
With some of your folks. In fact, you'll find that your church may have a library. Or your pastor is willing to share some of those books.
A lot of churches now do have bookstores.
Right.
And those are usually books that your pastor or whatever, you know, and with a great variety. And there's some people out here that do quality work that help you think. And I don't have
Max
anything.
Max Lucado.
Experiencing God. I went through that Bible study with a group, and it was awesome. You know, so it's that sort of like a topical thing. But there are great things to do, and not that we're pushing one thing or the other, but giving you ideas to think about just studying the Word. And it's, to me, it's nothing like you and God and your personal study with Him. I mean, it's great that it's people that can bring it, but to me, there has nothing been like me and my personal time with God.
I have an anecdote for that I have always loved. I heard it over 30 years ago. And there was this gentleman who was from, I think it was Scottish, and his name was Billy Strachan. If you ever get a chance, if you can find him and listen to him, he's an unbelievable teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he would teach at colleges and universities in Europe and was quite well known. And was a great Bible scholar. A little different, I'll tell you that. Very, very honest. And he was telling a story of one of his former students or something, or, you know, somebody writing him and going, Mr. Strachan, please tell me what books I should be reading and what commentaries I should be using. Tell me what do I do to learn the Word of God. And Billy wrote him back, read the Bible. You know, and you know, that's it. I mean, everything else is icing on the cake. Can't beat the Word. And even though it may be work and it may be just, you know, wordy and different and all that, you stick with it. It will come, and God will speak to you. I believe that with all my heart. On the other hand, there's nothing wrong with getting some help and using tools and listening to good Bible teachers and people you trust and that you have faith in. But remember, anybody can let you down. I'm sorry to say that. You know, we've all been, probably most of us, have been disappointed a time or two in what we thought was the greatest teacher or whatever. So I would warn you about that. Don't put your faith in men. But there's some great teachers out there.
There are. And the thing with that is if you are studying God's Word and you're in His Word, you know, you will know that men fall. They make mistakes. Doesn't take away from what they taught you, what you got from them as far as the Word, but things happen, and that happens in the Church of God. You know, sometimes people...
Men are men.
Men are men, and women are women, and we are human beings all on this path trying to do the best we can.
Including us.
Including us. We got to think of us as the... I remember I did a radio program a long time, The View from the Pew.
Yeah.
So that we're these two people. I think about those two Muppets, but they were two.
Those old guys.
Yeah, the old guys. That we're kind of like the two Muppets.
The peanut gallery.
The peanut gallery, giving you our view from the pew. Not that we, you know.
So think of these things.
Don't follow
what we said. You know, if you've heard something about a Strong's Concordance, then let's go check it out.
See
if that works for you. If you need some help understanding how to use them, go talk to a pastor or somebody who, you know, really is a Bible scholar, and I guarantee you they will know what these tools are and they can show you how to use them. If you may find that you are just Chuck Swindoll just speaks to you. Well,
yes.
That's fine. You read his books. You know, those are great books.
And I did all of those. And the other thing is, you know, one of the things we said is just to have that time with God. Things will come to you if you just have yourself.
Let's go back. So again, I say this because I had to learn this myself. There is no substitution. The Word, just spending time in the Word and spending time with the Lord and going, Lord, speak to me. You know, help me understand. And I'll read this five times if I need to. But God will bring it. He'll bring it on His schedule at His time. There have been times when I've studied something and it was 2 weeks later and the little light bulb goes on.
I've studied something and a light bulb, or I look at this, I'm like, I've read this scripture 1,000 times, and
right now
a new meaning comes. But you know, not only for new believers, people like us, or even, you know, to me, it's not an age thing, your maturity in the Lord. It is a maturity thing, it's a relationship thing.
Right.
But even when you have gone and walked with the Lord for quite some time, sometimes in that journey, you know, because my fervor, it's still there. I love the Lord still with all my heart, but the way that I thought and looked and read when I was kind of new, now the journey is a little different.
Yeah.
And I wanted to speak to people that sometimes we kind of, I call it, it's not that I've lost that first love, but renewing that, if you haven't, because I really, to be honest, I haven't really sat down and read the Bible, and I'm going to be transparent and open. And
as much.
I do read it probably weekly, every other week or something like that, but there was a time, there wasn't a day that went by that I didn't read and study the Word. But, you know, sometimes if you haven't done it, no shame, no, we're just all speaking openly and honest. Pick the Word up again. And go through it expecting God to talk to you.
I'm sorry. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm not reading the Word. I'm listening to the Word. And it's been great. I've enjoyed it. So I have about 45 minutes to an hour every day two ways. And I have gotten the Bible on CD, and I've enjoyed it. And I have had talks with the Lord, and I'm going, really? You know, because I'm in the Old Testament, and I'm like, really? And I'll get through that, and that's okay, because that stuff, it's still, and if you've ever done any study on learning, our brains are unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Recorders.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm recording that Word.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm recording that Word, and God will bring it to me if I need it. The Holy Spirit will remind me, and He'll go this, and hey, what about that? You know. And so that's putting the Word in, and that's just one way. But Linda and I lead very, very busy lives. We have church just about every day. We don't always have the Word right in front of us, but it's not unusual for us to quote Scripture to each other, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to get into that legalistic things, but if you're young in God and young, you kind of really need to get it in there, you know, so you can bring it back.
And it becomes a place where even if you didn't have a Bible and I was somewhere,
mm-hmm.
scriptures would come to me because all of the time I've invested in God. You never know where, you know, sometimes scriptures have come to me when I'm talking to somebody or whatever. that I didn't even know that I remembered that, but I would remember that scripture, and that's the Holy Spirit will bring it to your remembrance.
Linda had a word for me today, and she quoted scripture, and it has something to do with work, and I won't name names or anything, but she said, you know, Dave, he's wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Well, that's because the word is in her. So that's what she came, you know, that's what God gave to her to give to me. And I thought, yep, I got it. Yep, you're right. But it's an amazing thing, our relationship with God.
It is.
And I will leave you with these, you know, because I think we're kind of wrapping up this topic.
Yeah, we are.
And I don't want to drag it out just to drag it out. But, you know, trust the Lord. Mm-hmm. Trust the Lord. It says that he who has begun a good work in you will finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, and this is one of my mentors, and I've shared it with many people, and I remind myself, you're right on schedule. Don't beat yourself up. Don't say, oh, I should be so much more. I should be so much further. No, God's bringing you along right on schedule. You're not out of sync. You're not out of schedule. Now, you may need to confess and get things right, you know, and God will speak to you more. I believe obedience also brings knowledge. I really do. I think they go hand in hand. As I said when we started, like my dad used to say to me, you know, he says, I'm not even going to waste my breath talking to you, you know, because he knew it was going in one ear and out the other because I wasn't going to do what he asked me to do anyway. And I think God sometimes says, okay, all right, go ahead. Got your way. When you're ready, I'll be right here, you know. So be open. Be honest. Also, and Linda will echo this, I know. I'm surprised she hadn't already said it. Question God.
Yeah.
It is okay. When you have a scripture and you go, wow, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and I have done that. And I still do that sometimes, especially in the Old Testament. Ask God.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God.
He'll reveal it to you.
You know, with an open heart. Not with a hard heart. Not with a rejecting heart. But just go, Lord, I don't understand. This doesn't seem right. How is this okay? You know, and I've asked those questions, and I think it's fine. But with respect and love and the knowledge that my God knows more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I don't. I just encourage us all. To you know, stay in the Word of God. I think that will help us so much because when people sometimes, not just people, even yourself, when you know the Word of God, you know, you can't be tricked.
Yeah, you can't be fooled.
You can't be fooled. It brings such wisdom into your life when you know the Word of God. It develops and directs and guides you.
Don't you think it helps you discern?
Oh,
You know, and discern in a different way than you might think. In that I believe it gives you a sensitive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That the more you read the Word, the more easily you tell who's real and who isn't.
Oh, definitely. And it used to be one of my prayers is for giving me this sense of discernment. But you know what? The Word really helps with that.
Sure.
Because in this day and time, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, I'm a really open kind of person, but in this day and time, you can always let the Word of God be your foundation.
Mm.
You can go back to, what does the Word say about that? You know, and how should I live that? How should I live? How should I treat my brother? How should I treat people?
You know,
how
maybe
should I
maybe we should have another one about application because you and I are going through this where we are
living the Word of God.
We're
taking be a part two.
Living the Word of God. We're taking God's principles and going, wait a minute. God said,
mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Am I really doing that? Mm-hmm. And the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I've put conditions, mm-hmm. criteria, and it's got to be. These three things have to happen.
I'm still working through that in that, you know, because I'm just one of the open people, and it's sometimes I have to, and the Lord will bring it back, but this is what I need you to do. And I always want to be, no matter how open and diverse I am, that if the Lord said, this is what I need you to do, that would be what I did.
Can I share our illustration about the anchor and the rope? you know.
Okay.
Just because I think it's good that you guys kind of get to know us. Linda and I laugh about it. I call Linda the cosmic hippie. And the truth is, it's kind of like Linda's way out there on the road, and I'm kind of the anchor. So I tend to be a little more
grounded,
conservative. I don't want to use the word dogmatic, but theological, you know, and Linda's out there studying the cosmic, reading the book called The Cosmic Christ. But I trust Linda. I don't have a trouble with that because I know Linda will check her spirit constantly, asking the Lord, is this good? Is this bad? How do I apply this? Is this just some knowledge you wanted me to have about another group,
mm-hmm.
you know, because Linda is also working on a doctorate, and so she has studied other philosophies and other religions besides Christianity. Now, at one time, that would have scared me to death, me personally, but now I'm grounded. I know what I believe. It's taken a long time. I'm solid. I may go talk to them. I want to know what the Hindus believe because I want to talk to them. I'd love to sit down and say, hey, let's swap stories. You know, tell me about yours. I'll tell you about mine. I'm not going to change my mind. I know who my God is, and I know who my Savior is. How do we get off on this? Whatever. Excuse me.
All
of a sudden, I just realized I'm rattling away.
But it's all good. It's so good. The bottom line is that is the word is so good that it brings us wisdom, discernment. You know, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. He will direct your path. I don't know. Can't tell you how many times that scripture has come up to me when I was kind of like in a crossword. You know, crossroads, didn't know which way to go. That scripture would come up in my spirit and just kind of like.
Well, we talked about that, was it just last week?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about, you know, trusting the Lord and how to hear Him and, you know, all those things. But, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll get off my soapbox. I think I was preaching there, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, do you want to pray or want me to pray?
Okay. I'll pray this week.
Sure.
Well, Father God, first of all, we just want to thank you for time shared with other people, hoping that we encourage someone to open up your word and find the treasures inside. Lord, your word is a light unto our path. And so we just ask that you illuminate us with that light, guide us and direct us. Lord, we thank you for this program. We bless people and help them have a wonderful week. And if we just encourage one person to open up your word and pull out those treasures, we would have done what you've asked us to do. Bless your name, Father. We honor, we bless your name, and we worship and adore you. In Jesus' name.
Now I'm going to do a very, very quick commercial. And the commercial is we are really working hard at being consistent Sundays, 6 p.m. Central. Just saying. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a blessed week.